So we worship according to John 4.
Pastor, before you kick, Pastor, can you hear me?
And let's have the truth in his word. So when we worship him in spirit and truth, we're worshiping him through the Holy Spirit according to the word of God, truth of God. Amen. Just to be short, I just wanted to share a couple of things that we did talk about in Sunday school relative to Jacob and Esau. So let me just read this to you. Jesus in Genesis, this is lesson number 11 in our journey through the book of Genesis from 3,000 feet.
We have real bad distortion.
We're not necessarily even doing a chapter by chapter, but we're doing a family by family. From Abraham and Sarah to where we are now with Isaac and Rebekah, and we're moving into Jacob and Esau. So these are not necessarily couples from the standpoint of married couples, but these we're doing them in pairs in terms of their relationship between these two different individuals. And there's some life lessons for us. So I don't want to bore you to death. I'm hoping to give you some information from scripture that will build you up. I like what Jude says, building us up on our most holy faith. So the purpose of the word is to build us up, to strengthen us, to fortify us when we go to battle in the streets, even at our homes, against the challenges and the attacks of the enemy. So Marie mentioned that the enemy, Satan, just like he was able to get access to heaven in Job chapter 1, when the Lord asked him, have you considered my servant Job? The Bible also says that Peter, with Elder Beach, was doing an excellent job introducing us to 1 Peter. We're going through 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, he talks about that the devil, our enemy, our adversary, is like a roaring lion seeking whom we may devour. Amen? So that's what we want to just equip ourselves with. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. That's what we want to equip ourselves with, and that is the ability to defend ourselves when the enemy comes. Amen? So here's what it says in Genesis 25. Chapter 25, verse 19. It's going to be really short. Just hang in with me for a few minutes on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. I thank the Lord for Rod, how he gave mentioned to not only our fallen soldiers in the battlefield of the Lord, but also those men and women that gave their lives for us so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we're enjoying right now, like being able to assemble together. So when you see a veteran, thank him or her for their service to our country and their service to our freedom, that we're allowed to do this and that we can have a picnic tomorrow and have ribs and chicken and hot dogs and hamburgers and coleslaw. All of this we'll be enjoying at Coach's house tomorrow. So just and at Coach's address is 231 Main Street. Oh boy. I know how to find his house. I just don't know his number. Yeah, that's right. Where the ribs are smoking. So here's what it says really quickly in Genesis 25:19. Now these So, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord answered him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it is so, why then am I this way?
So she went to inquire of the Lord. Let me stop right there. When you're going through something, when you're having a test, a trial, a tribulation, when you're going through some sort of pushback, some sort of conflict, some sort of adversarial issues are going on in your life, make your first option. Ready for this? Make your first option prayer. Lord, what's happening? Lord, help me. We seek all kinds of outside advice and input and feedback. We talk to different ones. We search this site. We check this website. We look in this book. We reference this thing. It seems like the last thing we look at is what the Lord has to say. I love the fact that Rebecca, according to Scripture, her first option, ladies and gentlemen, was, Lord, what's happening inside of me? These kids are going crazy. This is a very painful, very troublesome, labor-filled pregnancy, and I need to know what's going on. What a way to go. What an excellent choice you made to go to that person. And the Lord answered Rebecca and said, two nations, in verse 23 of Genesis 25, two nations are in your womb, and two people will be separated from your body. And one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Isn't it amazing? With man's economy, the way man works is, the eldest would get the birthright. The eldest would get the blessings. The eldest would get the favor. The eldest would get the privileges. The elder would receive the lion's share of the inheritance, typically two-thirds. Remember Luke 15, when the prodigal son and the elder son received their blessings from the father, the elder son received two-thirds. That was their custom, that the elder child received two-thirds and the younger child one-third. So the elder son, you know, he complained about what the younger son did. You can find all this in Luke 15. But he didn't complain about the fact that you got paid too, brother. You got yours too. That's sort of missed in this whole account, this whole parable of the prodigal son, that the elder son got paid also. He got double what the younger son got. And he stayed at home, so he didn't allegedly spend or squander it. But he didn't mention that. All he was moaning and groaning about the elder son is that the younger son got all his love and attention when he came home. That's sometimes a lesson for us, like, don't worry about other people's stuff. When you see somebody else getting blessed or getting attention or finding favor or being or receiving accolades or receiving attention, don't bring them their parade. Don't be jealous. Don't be angry at them. Don't try to bring them down because this is not about you this time. Rejoice with them. Amen? And this brother made a fatal mistake by getting mad because the father was showing attention and affection toward his lost son. But I digress. But these two boys are inside of her, twins no less, struggling inside of her womb, fighting, trying to, actually I mentioned this in Sunday school, that Jacob's name means heel catcher. He was trying to catch, he was trying to pull Esau back down. I want to be first. I want to come out first. I want to be the birthright recipient. Genesis 12, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says this, I will make you a great nation. This is God's promise to Abraham. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. How many of you just want to be a blessing to others? That's not a great way to be. Just be a person that just goes around, not just necessarily deliberately, intentionally doing acts of kindness. I'm not saying a orchestrated effort, but just being the kind of person that is just a blessing to be around. You build people up. You boost them. You inspire them. You encourage them. Just your presence, just your countenance around people are lifted up. They're positive. They're inspired. That's just a beautiful way to be. Lord, we pray for gifts. You know, we pray for gifts and talents and abilities, and we want this conferred on us and that conferred. I very rarely hear people say, you know what? I just want to be a person that's positive. I just want to be a person that's a blessing to others. I just want to make other people make your day a better day.
But he's on white.
Just make your moments a better moment. That's just a beautiful thing. It has nothing to do with being a preacher, a teacher, a singer, a musician, an apostle, a bishop. Everybody want to be one of these signs, these five-fold ministries. What about so let's just go around being a blessing, changing the atmosphere of the room, changing the air in the room. That's what you want to be. That's what Jesus was. That's what Jesus did. Jesus just went around changing the flavor of the room, changing how people perceive life, lifting them up, boosting them, encouraging them, inspiring them. I just think that's next level. It's a gift that's so overlooked. It's so underplayed, underestimated, right? So those who want to say, I will bless those who bless you, in Genesis 12:3, and curse those who treat you with contempt. And the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Amen. Just pray, Lord, help me be a blessing. Help someone be blessed because of you. Whether I'm doing something for them, giving them something, helping them, help me be a blessing. Lord, help me be an amen. Amen. Genesis 27:29 says this. Genesis, if you turn to Luke 27, chapter 27, verse 29, the Lord says, Israel, this. May nations serve you, and peoples bow down to you. Isn't this language that's similar to what the Lord said to Rebecca about the two boys that were born? Here she was barren most of her life. She couldn't conceive. Now she's in her old age. And the Lord has not just given her one kid. He's given her two simultaneously. An elderly lady, past childbearing years. It goes on to say, that many nations serve you, may many nations serve you when people bow down to them in Genesis 27:29. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. This is the Lord essentially reiterating to Jacob, y'all with me? Just a few more minutes. But God had already promised Abraham back in Genesis 12. 12 verse 3. And by the way, when it says here curse the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for curse is a word that's difficult to pronounce, but I'm going to try it. Kalal is Q-A-L-A-F. Kalal, so power. And that word means in Hebrew, not curse the way we say we're going to put a curse on someone, we're going to put a hex on somebody, you know, some voodoo stuff. That's not what it's referring to. When he says curse, he said he's talking about you will be despised. You will have people show contempt against you. You'll be considered inferior or insignificant. So that's what he's saying, when may those who curse you, because we can't put curses on people. I'm sorry, I just believe that children of God are protected. We are tabernacles of the Holy Spirit. We are houses, we are vessels of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that an unsaved person, I don't care what kind of light magic or who they have, and put a curse on a child of God. And what the Lord is defining this for here in Genesis 27 is that a curse is something that is really defined, it would be used in plain English, as some sort of contempt. I despise this person. This person is showing contempt toward you. This person is treating you as you are treating you disrespectfully or insignificantly. That's what the Lord is referring to as a curse. So, whereas we can't put a curse on Israel in this case, we can't treat Israel disrespectfully, dishonorably, and treat them insignificantly. All right? So, here's what the Lord says. I'm wrapping this up, but I want to show you how these boys make an impact on our lives. Okay? In Malachi, the first chapter, I know when we think about Malachi, we always think about
Malachi 3 about tithes and offerings. But here's something else that you need to know. In Malachi chapter 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, just two verses. Watch this. It says, I have always loved you, says the Lord. How many of you all feel loved by the Lord? Do you feel loved by the Lord? Even when you're going through trials and tribulations, do you feel loved?
Y'all ain't telling a story, are you, right? You're in church. I tell you, sometimes we struggle, don't we? Let's just be honest. We may not doubt the Lord's love, but we certainly might doubt his decision at that moment while we're going through said situation. But here he says in Malachi 1, I have always loved you, says the Lord. But you retort, really? How have you loved us? Are you all with me in Malachi 1 and 2? It's up on the screen. I'm reading from the NLT. He says, and the Lord replies, this is how I showed you my love for you. I showed my love for you. I loved your ancestor, Jacob. That's who we're talking about this morning. But I rejected his brother, Esau, and devastated his hill country. I turned Esau's inheritance into a desert for jackals. By the way, this is a foreshadowing of what Paul is going to say in Romans 9 about Jacob I've loved and Esau I've hated. So when we see that word, we say, how can God hate somebody? God doesn't hate people like that. God does hate sin, but he does. This word hate here is better translated in the Hebrew as really being that he is rejecting Esau. This was a more of a rejection, unaccepted behavior. I'm not receiving Esau because of his heart, because of his attitude. So actually the word Esau in Hebrew means hairy. And Esau was the father of the Edomites, which means red in Hebrew. And so this group, this country, this nation that was inside of Rebekah, Israel, who still his name is Jacob right now. We haven't gotten Israel. And Esau, these are two nations that are going to be warring against each other, not just in her womb, but they're going to be warring at each other for the next several hundred years until God actually eradicates the Edomites from the earth, just wipes them out. God did it, not Israel. God took care of business because that was the right way to do it. But what God was letting Rebekah know is that you have two nations in you. These two boys aren't just going to be at each other's throats. They're going to start a whole race of people, a whole nation, and they're going to be warring each other for centuries. And what you need to know is that of these two boys, I've chosen Jacob. I've rejected Esau. And you may say, well, that seems very unfair, Pastor Will. Why would God do that? Well, look at Romans 9. Let me just show you why Jacob was the chosen one in this case and Esau wasn't. It says here in Romans 9, verse 10 in the NLT, this son was our ancestor Isaac. When he married Rebekah, she gave birth to twins. But before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, Elder Beacham, we talked about this when he taught us through the book of Romans. We came to this passage, and it's an amazing passage because it's a throwback. It's looking back at the words from Malachi. He's literally, Paul here is quoting Malachi 1, and he's saying, before they were born, they had done nothing good or bad. She received the message from God. This message shows that God chooses people according to his own purposes. Verse 12, he calls people, but not according to their good or bad works. She was old. Your older son will serve your young son, the Lord said. In the words of the scriptures, I have loved Jacob, but I rejected. I know some translations say I have hated Esau. A better translation of that word in Hebrew is rejection. I have dismissed, have decided not to use Esau. And he goes on to say, are we saying then that God was unfair? I love how Paul interjects this rhetorical question because that's what we're thinking, right? That's what the readers are thinking. Like, wow, dude, this does not seem right. I mean, what did Esau ever do to be put in such a bad position where, you know, God rejects him? Well, the question is answered. He says, I will show, let me go back to the verse before that. So in the scriptures, it says, I love Jacob, but I rejected Esau. Are we saying then that God was unfair? Paul says, of course not. God is incapable of being unfair. He's incapable of being unjust. God is incapable of showing respect to a person. That's not who he is. He says, for God said to Moses, I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. Now, this is another throwback to the Old Testament. And I'm making that point. Here's why I'm making the point. Because when you study the scripture, you have to follow the references. Don't get caught up in taking a scripture out of context or misrepresented. Make sure you slow down. Don't worry about trying to read a chapter a day. If you have a good reference Bible, you will see that there will be a reference to these scriptures that were quoted before, and it will help the passage make sense. You all with me? It's just basic, you know, Bible study 101. Just making sure that you're not taking a text out of context, because you'll end up with a pretext. So he goes on to say, I will show mercy. This is God's statement to Moses that Paul is quoting in reference to the statement that Malachi made 400 years, by the way, 400 years before Jesus, 400 plus years before Paul makes this statement in Romans. He says, I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. So it is God who decides to show mercy. We can neither choose it or not work for it. We choose it, not work for it. So I made a point to say in my notes that God's choices are not based on our good deeds or bad deeds sometimes. That God's choices are made because this is what he wants to do. And even though sometimes our character or conduct may be out of place, maybe less than desirable, God can still bless us. God can still use us. He doesn't discard us because we're not perfect all the time. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged because you feel like, boy, I'm just struggling in this area. I can't seem to get the victory over this. I can't seem to get my life together. Don't walk away from God and decide that you're not worthy and that you can't make it and that this is too much. Thank God that he uses flawed people. Thank goodness that God uses broken vessels also. Tim did an amazing sermon some months ago on that very topic. Thank God that God doesn't only choose, quote unquote, perfect people or good people. Because if he did, none of us would be selected. None of us could be saved, right? None of us could be used by God. None of us could enjoy his favor or enjoy his blessing. Thank God that he's compassionate enough to use us and realize that we're just dirt. We're just dust. We're just flesh. Amen. I love this fact that he says that I will show compassion to anyone I choose. Even people we may reject and feel they're unworthy. Esau may have seemed like he was a waste of breath. Anybody that would sell their birthright for a pot of chili just seems like this person is just unworthy. He didn't deserve a birthright if it meant so little to him. We would just be ready to write this guy off. But God still chose to find worth in Esau. And he still blessed him. For a while, he still blessed him. He didn't just discard him. Even though he forfeited the birthright, he didn't forfeit his blessing. God still had mercy and compassion. That encourages me. See, some people read this. I'm going to sit down. Some people read this and they say, oh, man, I can't deal with this. God's not fair. Why would he love Esau? Why would he love Jacob and reject Esau? Why would he just show seemingly unwarranted favor toward Jacob and he hadn't done anything good or bad? Here's what I take away from that. I take the side of Esau. Even though Esau made boneheaded mistakes, he squandered his inheritance. He squandered his birthright. He was a nation that was always against Israel. He showed contempt for God. God still blessed him. God still was willing to save Esau. And we don't know his plight, but the fact of the matter is that he wasn't beyond redemption. He wasn't beyond salvation. God doesn't toss us out with the bathwater. God doesn't reject us because we fail or we fall. I look at this as showing that there's hope. There's hope for me. I'll just use myself as an example. There's hope that God can still use me. He can still bless me. He can still save me in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of my failures, in spite of my faults. God still finds some worth in us. He finds something that's valuable. Everybody else dismisses us, but God finds something that's valuable. And you know what? You should find something that's valuable in yourselves, and you should find and seek and look for something valuable in others to encourage them. I know you may need a microphone. You may need a magnifying glass in some cases, but you can find something in someone else. Give them a chance. Everybody has some redeeming qualities, right? So, you know, show some grace, show some mercy, show some patience, and let's find a way to love one another. And as much as within us, let's learn to live peaceably with all men, right? Because God forgave us. Peter said, how many times should we forgive our brother? 7 times 70. The Lord said, no way. 70 times 70. There's no limit. There should be no statute of limitations for us finding a way to forgive our brother and sister, to love our brother and sister, to overlook their faults and shortcomings, to excuse their offenses, according to 1 Corinthians 13, right? We don't look at ourselves as being hypersensitive whenever we think someone offends us. Amen? That's the new meme for this day. I read a cartoon the other day about the word offense. Everybody is just so hypersensitive about being offended. All these groups out there, all these protesters about every little thing, everybody's offended. Every group has a beef. You know, it's whether it's race or gender or color or sex or position in life or whatever. Everybody has a chip on their shoulder. Everybody. Good grief. Let's chill. Why are we taking ourselves so seriously?
You know, the passing out. We're not trying to get everything on this earth. This is not, sorry, I didn't listen to Joel. See, this is not our best life now. If this is your best life now, then I feel bad for you. I don't care if you got Bill Gates money, Jeff Bezos money, you know, I don't care whose money, Elon Musk money, I don't care which one. This is not the best life that I want. So that's wrong. That's patently wrong. This is not our best life. We have something I have not seen, ear have not heard, what the Lord has prepared for us. We have something better than this life. Whether you have all the help you want, you can be built like a rock, and you can have unlimited funds, but this life has an expiration date.
And I believe that, and I pray that you will accept and believe that we have a life that has no expiration date. We move from glory to glory, from physical to spiritual, from mortal to eternal. We don't have an expiration date. Praise God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Let's count our blessing. Let's count our blessing. We may not get it all here. We may not get what we want here in terms of status or wealth or health or position, but God has something better for us. This is not how the story ends. This is not our best life. God has much more for us, much better. Whatever you're going through, this too shall pass. Whatever you're going through, it gets better. Whatever you're going through, God has a purpose and God has a plan. Don't be discouraged. Amen. Don't throw in the towel and think that this is as good as it gets, because it's not. God sees us. He knows us. We count. We matter. We're not one out of a billion, but God knows us individually. He knows us personally. He knows us intimately. Amen. All right. I'm done. Any questions? Amen. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.